This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. To many of us, darkness and light are just something you affect by flicking on a light switch or lighting a candle. But for Katie Newell, light is a condition, a material that can vary in strength and form. She's a University of Michigan assistant professor of architecture, and the fascination she has with light could also conversely be described as fascination with darkness. That intertwinement is evident in her upcoming exhibition, Overnight. It opens June 11th and runs till November 6th at the Irving Stan Jr. Family Gallery at the University of Michigan Museum of Art. Katie Newell, welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Can you describe the exhibition, particularly what's in it and the story that you're wanting to tell?
Overnight actually has two major components to it. The first part is a series of photographs, which are adding to something that I've been doing for years, a series called Nightly. And the second part of it is actually an installation. And both of those are grouped together. I have a great interest in nighttime and how that actually alters our spaces that we're used to seeing during the day, and perhaps even, you know, architecturally speaking, gives us things that we don't normally see, or even some impossibilities. Things seem to float, colors change, materials look a little different. So the Nightly photographs are recording the transition we've been going through in Detroit from having less than 40% of our streetlights to now where we have the implementation of the new infrastructure of the LED light system. And what has happened is we've gone from very dark setting, lights that if they were there were lit from sodium vapor lamps and copper wiring, and now we have LED, which is much brighter, much colder, and they're lit from aluminum, which even though it's less efficient is less likely to be scrapped. So the work records that transition and records how I see the nighttime and how I'm kind of capturing spaces in their darkness. And then the installation feeds back on those material changes going from copper to aluminum and how it's lit both day and night.
What is that change like, having gone from copper to aluminum?
The copper to the aluminum change is more of the kind of impetus for how I make the material choices of the installation. I'd say visually what you're actually seeing the difference of is the sodium vapor to the LED lights. And it's different colorations, brightness. It's kind of a sort of change of what you see. I mean, basically what's happening is we're losing our darkness in Detroit. I'm not actually happy about it, to be honest. I know a lot of times things for safety, things for illumination or just kind of the general getting systems back online. We, of course, want the streetlights, and I can see that. But we did and are losing this amazing moment where there is this sort of beautiful calm, these wonderful things that happen when something actually falls in darkness, which we actually, in most of our lives, just as you said in the introduction, we flip it away.
We flip it away.
We don't let ourselves see darkness that often, to be honest.
I wonder why that is. Maybe we don't. Is there some deep-seated fear
of
darkness?
There is. I've been doing research on darkness for a long time. I actually spent a year in Rome a handful of years ago studying darkness and night for that entire year. And with that, reading scholarly material, reading more anecdotal things, and of course, you know, building up these sets of photographs, there is a deep-seated fear. There is something where we know things are different. We don't necessarily trust one another the same way in the darkness.
You think of the old goblins and ghoulies and long-legged beasties and things that go bump in the night, right?
The history of the streetlight comes from trying to wipe away the evils of night. It's just kind of adding to that as well, but maybe with a little bit of slant of trying to see some of the beauty in that moment of darkness too.
Do you think, as an architect, as somebody with that design eye, because there are some who say, yeah, the lights are coming back in Detroit, but they're ugly. I've heard that. Could there have been a better way? I guess, you know, we can't reinvent the wheel. I mean, lights are on. Safety and public safety is important. But could there have been a way to meet that but not make them so what people feel might be cold and ugly?
They are really bright. They're laid out in a very mathematical way, too, where they end up hitting on strange moments. And not necessarily always illuminating where someone may be and instead illuminate a vacant lot or something. I think it's, you know, it'd be an amazing undertaking to put the money into a change or to really think through it. But I think it could have been done in different ways. Things that are maybe even lower to the ground, things that become pedestrian level as opposed to lit high from above. I do find the LEDs quite harsh, quite bright, and something that I think actually also it messes with our circadian rhythms. It kind of plays with the harshness of the landscape already. And so I am a big believer that there's different ways to be lighting the night.
Well, that's or just lighting our worlds, because you're talking to someone who works in a space that has no exterior light whatsoever. And the office is basically LED. And one of my coworkers said, it's soul sucking. So you are actually opening us up to talk about that effect of light. We're sitting in a studio without the soul-sucking lights that we have in the office. And right. that's, but it's, well, it's practical, it's energy efficient, so there's that for it.
Right.
I don't know, is there an answer?
I don't know, there's a trade-off. Mm-hmm. I think there's a great trade-off. And I actually think we miss something when we don't get the darkness in us. We miss a sort of calm. Part of the series I've done, not what's being shown in Michigan, I've also done a lot of photographs in the interior of people's homes in complete darkness. And I have to say, those are such impactful experiences because people start to open up in such a way. I've had the most intimate conversations with complete strangers when I sit in their house with them in total darkness, because I think there's a moment where there's a part of us that we're burning away, basically, with other lights. And I think there is a loss to that. And I think with all this sort of stimuli we have in our environment, it causes anxiety, it causes distraction, messes with our sleep.
What attracts you to Detroit to create so much of your art? Because I went to your website, to KathleenNewell.com. You are known not only for your photographs, but your installations, your urban interventions, and so much of it is in Detroit.
Right. Well, I'm from the area. And I very much so do installations about what is around me. I'm very keen to react to the circumstances that are happening at any given time. And so being in Detroit, the realm of installations have gone from everything of doing a piece on arson to theft to vandalism to historic eradication. Now, of course, I'm responding a little bit with the scrapping industry and also things happening with the LED lights. And so for me, part of it's my surroundings and a dedication to the city. I greatly enjoy living there, and my family is there and around. So I think the kind of passion of having watched it and watched it go through so many years and so many transitions, my installation work is not something that's looking to fix any problems. It really ends up being sort of a commentary on the circumstances that are happening at any one moment. And oftentimes they do end up being talking points for things that are going on in the city. Not as a way to say, okay, this is how we should do it, or look at what can now be done going forward. But it's a moment of pause where it stops and it highlights the same issues that everyone's talking about, but does it actually in a way that's meant to be very spatial, very beautiful, something that sort of asks people to stop for a second, to sort of slow down and look at actually what's in fact going on around us, and maybe see it, knowing that things are starting from existing conditions, knowing that we have what we have, that there are abilities to remake the materials and get things actually that we could never have done from starting from scratch, or opportunities that come out of things having become imperfect or having gone wrong aren't necessarily a bad place to start. It's my way of working with the city, communicating with the city. I do it not through words, but through the things that I make.
Overnight will open June 11th. It'll be at the Irving Sten Jr. Family Gallery at the University of Michigan Museum of Art, and it will run until November 6th. Katie Newell, it was great talking with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for having me.